Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me. Thanks for staying with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad you did that. If you've been listening already, well, I know you know that we think you're highly intelligent for doing that, and you're going to get smarter because Dr. Robert McTeer is our guest, and our good friend Bob is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, going way back into the last century. He was part of our Brain Trust when he was the president of the Dallas Federal Reserve Bank. He's taken a couple of other exciting opportunities in the meantime, and now he's a distinguished fellow with the National Center for Policy Analysis. And even though I miss him, Bob, welcome back to the show, by the way. It's good to
Thank
have you here.
Thank you, Jim. Yeah.
I miss the days when you were a member of the Fed, but the truth is we can probably have a little more fun now. Can't we?
Yeah, my bow is not quite as waxed as it was.
that's a good way to say it. Yeah, you don't have to be wound quite as tight these days.
Do you remember the origin of that,
sir?
Do you know the origin of that? That goes back to Buddy Holly. When he was about 3 years old, he would get on the bandstand with his uncle's band and play his little toy fiddle.
Yeah.
And it made a terrible sound, so they greased his bow. He could play, but it wouldn't make a sound anymore.
That's funny. Well, I'm a big Buddy Holly fan. In fact, I think we've got a few of his cuts in our library of music that we play on the show. Bob, thank you for being here, and it's good to talk to you again. I'm really glad you're here today, especially because, you know, we've come through a lot of troubling weeks and a lot of troubling information. The economy is kind of schizophrenic. The stock market is a basket case in a lot of ways. The financial sector, they don't know how many more shoes they've got waiting to drop. We've got a lot of mortgages are resetting. There's apparently a record number of defaults. I don't know about foreclosures yet, but oil is almost at $100 a barrel. We got a lot of wacky stuff going on right now. Help us sort all this out.
Well, Jim, full disclosure, all along, I've been underestimating this. When this first started surfacing, I was pretty sure that it was going to be contained within the housing market and that it wouldn't go nearly as far as it's gone. Of course, Alan Greenspan pretty much said the same thing in his new book. So you're asking a person whose track record on this is not all that wonderful. When you talk about shoes to drop, I guess you could mean two things. One is something new going to come along, like maybe it hits money market accounts or something like that, or are we just going to have more of the same, like more financial institutions popping up that have been hurt that you wouldn't have expected?
Well, and every day you're hearing about another one taking another big write-off.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it's almost certain that there's going to be more of the same. I mean, there's going to be more financial institutions fessing up. They've been harmed. I think that's almost a certainty. I'm not sure about the other. I think maybe we'll get along without that happening.
Well, don't we have to put the whole mortgage exposure in perspective? I mean, am I underestimating this? From what I hear, the whole mortgage exposure, the way it's been spread out across the globe, basically, I mean, it's a very small, tiny percentage of the overall strength of the financial sector, isn't it?
Well, yes, and that's why I was underestimating it. It just seems that that the psychology of it, though, is causing people to be afraid to lend money, and certainly they're raising the rates. The risk premiums are going way back up, and so I guess the magnitude of that sector and the magnitude of the impact are two different things, and the impact
right.
seems to be out of proportion to the sector.
It's classic, isn't it? The pendulum swung too far one side, now it's swinging too far back to the other side.
I think so.
Yeah, sounds like our government. Stand by, Bob McTeer. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We'll be right back with some more wisdom from our good friend, Dr. Robert McTeer. Stay with us.
Hey, Jim, and all the gang at the Small Business Advocate Show. It's Wilma Goldstein from the SBA. Congratulations on your 10th anniversary, and may you have 10 more. 10 years? 10 years?
Welcome back. It's actually 17 until the hour. 43 after. Thank you very much for hanging around with us. Thank you, Wilma Goldstein, for those nice words. We're visiting our good friend, Dr. Robert McTeer, distinguished fellow at the National Center for Policy Analysis, former president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas, and a member of the FOMC, a very, very exciting and important global job that was back in those days especially. But we like him now especially because we can, as he says, his bow is not waxed quite as tightly as it was back in those days. Bob, the dollar. You've been writing a lot about the dollar lately. Is the dollar as troublesome as a lot of people make it think? The value of the dollar, is the dollar weak, or are the other currencies just getting stronger, like the euro?
A little of both. Its main depreciation has been against the euro and against the British pound and the Canadian dollar. It's not depreciated that much against the Asian currencies, some of which are tied to it, particularly the yuan.
Mm-hmm.
They're letting
the Chinese currency.
They're letting float up very, very gradually, and not as fast as it would if it were totally into the market.
Right.
Let me just say this: I listen to a lot of financial TV, and what all is being said about the dollar is sort of nonsense, because people will say, do you think we ought to allow the dollar to go down, or would we be better off with a strong dollar? And they invariably say, oh, we need a strong dollar, as if there's a menu there,
mm-hmm.
and you can pick a strong dollar, and it doesn't affect what else. But
right.
the point is, we've got this huge current account deficit that we've
right.
had for years, and it's gotten larger and larger.
Explain to the audience what that means.
Well, if I'd said trade deficit, they would know what I meant.
Right.
The problem is we want to include services, and they've reserved trade to being goods. So it's
right.
goods, services, and unilateral transfers. That's
which we've got. We're going to have to change that definition because we're becoming more of a service economy, aren't we?
Yeah. Well, that just means we use these awkward terms that don't make as much
well,
sense.
Well, thank you for clearing that up for us. It makes a lot more sense now.
Yeah. Anyway, if we're going to get rid of that, the three ways to do it. One is to allow the dollar to depreciate and change all the incentives so that our exports rise relative to our imports.
Mm-hmm.
The other is to somehow keep the dollar the same and let the economy shrink so that our demand for imports goes down. And the third is to tinker with free trade, start backsliding on that. So there's no question
that
the dollar decline is the least worst of those alternatives.
I agree with you. And you know, something you said about a minute ago about it has been interesting to see how our currency has weakened against Canada. Am I correct in saying that Canada is the place where we get most of our petroleum? Aren't they the largest importer of petroleum to us?
I'm not sure that they're largest, but they could be. they are our largest trading partner, and it is commodity-based to a large extent. And
I know we get a lot of oil from them, but maybe I was thinking of the largest trading partner,
yeah,
but I don't.
Yeah,
Mexico.
Timber and things like that as
yeah.
well.
Mm-hmm.
I did a thing on my blog with a tongue in cheek about that, because last September was when Greenspan's book came out, and I went the first morning and bought it, and I must have bought 5 books in September, and I always look inside the dust jacket to see the difference between the U.S. price and the Canadian price.
Oh, yeah.
And it ranged from a low of 21% to a high of 26%
mm-hmm.
higher in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
That was the month that the Canadian dollar reached parity with the U.S. dollar.
Right.
So it took all these book companies by surprise, obviously. And
right, exactly. How do you think the Fed's doing right now? Look at your buddies over there, where you used to work, and give us a scorecard. Give us a report card on how you think the Fed's doing these days.
Actually, I think they're doing very well, but they're sort of in a box. I don't think they did anything particularly wrong to get in that box, but one thing that's happened is that it's been looking like they've had to ease these last couple of times because the markets already reflected it. And I think they're feeling bad that it looks as though they don't have freedom of choice on FOMC day, that they've got to do what the market wants.
The market tends to try to build in whatever they want, don't they, in advance?
Yeah, and the Fed would like to have some more independence from that than it has. And the other day, one of the new governors, made a speech and was very explicit in saying he didn't think that any more was necessary, even if more shoes dropped. And that was quite extraordinary for him to say that. But I think
right.
the reason is that was a declaration of independence.
Mm-hmm. Well, the market does seem to get itself into the financial markets, the stock market. They seem to get themselves into binds, and then they seem to expect the Fed to bail them out, don't they?
Yeah, and the problem with dealing with that is that a lot of the people that are in binds were not the people that did anything wrong or
right.
did anything restless. So
you've got
them all mixed up.
Right. Hold on to that thought, Bob. Folks, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, Doctor. And by the way, Bob's blog is bob-mctier-blog.com. Put bob-mctier-blog.com. Put a dash between his name and the blog, and you'll find his outstanding blog. I encourage you to check it out. He and I will be right back. I'm going to ask Bob about what he thinks the economy is going to do in 08. Stay with us.
Love is strange. It's hard to believe that a man of your humility and quiet demeanor could have that long a career in radio.
Welcome back. It's 7-2. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thank you for hanging around with me. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. First one is where you can find the show and the archives and the articles and the newsletter and the blog, all those things are there for you. And the second one is our knowledge base, askjim.biz. That's where you can get your small business answers today, right? Not today, not just today, but instantaneously. And so I hope you'll check those out and use them to your advantage. No barrier to entry. We're having a great visit with our good friend, Dr. Robert McTeer. Bob McTeer is the distinguished fellow with the National Center for Policy Analysis. And Bob is I'm going to call him a semi-professional poet. Now, Bob, I use that term because you're good enough to be a professional, but I don't know that anybody's ever paid you for your haikus before.
No, they haven't. I can assure
you. So that makes you a semi-pro, I think. So now you've got a folks. You part of the excitement I have about having Bob on the show, or he always brings us a haiku. So go ahead, Bob.
Well, now let me start with something that the haiku is based on. When I was at A&M, I was surrounded by all these Texas girls that always ordered Dr. Pepper instead of Coke. So I wrote this, what I regard as a very romantic poem. I gave her a yellow rose I found wilting in the sand. Next morning, it stood tall and blonde in her Dr. Pepper can. Now, the haiku version is harder for me to remember, but I think it is, there's no denying that Dr. Pepper brings comfort to Texas girls.
Well, folks, you don't get this. I bet you don't. Hey, listen, let me ask you a question. I bet Larry Kudlow doesn't let you do his haikus on his show. Huh?
Hey, Larry never gives me a chance to even finish my sentences when I'm...
Exactly. See, so here's my question, Bob. Who loves you?
Well, he loves me, but I think he loves himself more.
I think you're probably right about that. Hey, Bob, what do you think's going to happen with the economy in 08? Small business owners we're a little bit worried about the future. Now, you know what, Bob? We're not worried about ourselves. We're not worried about our own ability. We're worried about other people out there making decisions to make them zillions of dollars and screwing up what we've got. That's what we're worried about.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, they say that forecasters are closet extrapolators. And if you extrapolate, everything's going to be all right because our last two quarters of GDP have been pretty good. And we do have the foreign trade sector improving as a result of a decline in the dollar that's making up for the decline in the housing sector. However, our expansion has been relying heavily on consumer spending.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to imagine that $100 oil and everybody's scared to death about losing their house and so forth, that's not going to have an impact. Plus, consumers have been cashing in the equity in their homes for several years because they only went up and never went down. And every time they refinance, they'd take some cash out of there and go spend it. Well, that's no longer a source of spending for consumers. So I think 08 is going to be pretty rough. Whether it meets the standards of a recession, I'm not sure, but it won't be nice.
Well, nothing keeps going forever, and you know, if we have to have a correction year, an adjustment year, but don't you think that the marketplace, including small business owners, we're so well connected, our systems, our best practices have gotten so much better these days, and with the technology that we have, if we do have a slowdown in 08, don't you think it's going to be like the past two or three recessions? Not that we're going to have a recession, but the last two or three slowdowns, something that just basically was just a mild correction?
Well, it could be. The last recession was only 8 months long, March to November, and it followed 10 years of expansion. And the one before that was about 9 months long, and it followed almost 10 years of expansion.
Right.
So we've not become recession-proof, but excuse me, we have become recession-resistant, I think.
Right. Well, Bob, before we go, tell us about the NCPA and how we can find you guys there.
The NCPA website is www.ncpa.org. Excuse me. It's a free market think tank that was founded in 83 by John and Jeanette Goodman.
Right.
And they have focused in the past primarily on Social Security and health-related issues. And
of that organization is our good friend, Governor Pete DuPont.
Pete DuPont is the chairman, yes.
He's one of our good friends. He's been on the show many times. Hey, Bob, thanks for being here. Good job today. Thanks for your wisdom today.
Thank you.
And the haikus.
Okay.
Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.